Our pericope of Scripture tonight is the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people that are around you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say to thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. Especially verses 6 and 7. this evening. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. May God bless the reading of his word and the preaching of it. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses' last will and testament to the nation of Israel. You boys and girls remember way earlier in the wilderness wanderings when the people were murmuring again and complaining that Moses became angry, and rather than speaking to the rock, he struck it with his rod. He was impatient with them. That was sin. And God told him he would not go into the land of Canaan because of it. Moses did ask God later on, when he was on the east side of the Jordan and he had conquered Og and Sihon, the two kings of the Amorites there, if he might go with God's people so that he could continue that battle, he could see the victory and the people in that land of milk and honey. And God says, no, no. So Moses now wants to give instruction to these people. Someone else is going to be leading them in, that is young Joshua. And so he wants to prepare them for how they are to conduct themselves, how they are to live there in the land of Canaan. And he reminds them of God's covenant, doesn't he? Already in Deuteronomy 5 and 6, these two chapters really go together. That's why this morning when I preached, I read the law from Deuteronomy 5. Notice, we read there in Deuteronomy 5, verse 2, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day," he says. And that's how he ends also this chapter. When the boys and girls are going to ask their fathers, "Now, what are all these laws about? What is this, the law of the covenant?" "Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon his household before our eyes, and he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." These laws, these statutes, we read here, have to first of all be in the hearts of the parents. And then the hearts of the parents, then it's going to flow out of their mouths and be lived with their lives, giving instruction to their children and their children's children. You see, what we have here is generational instruction. Chapter 6, verse 2. "Thee and thy son and thy son's sons all the days of thy life." Giving instruction, giving Christian instruction, giving Reformed instruction to our children, just as the Israelites were to give to their children, imparting knowledge. There are so many churches today that say, "We don't want doctrine, just give us practical things, how we have to behave as parents or as mothers or how we should do our work." What is laid out by Moses is the history of God's dealings with his people. And with those dealings come his demand of him also, of God also, for his people then, to love him and to serve him and to obey him. Instruction. Christian instruction. Reformed instruction. Boys and girls, tomorrow you get to go back to school. I see some smiles, maybe some grimaces, but mostly smiles. You get to go back to a Christian school where every subject can be taught from the Word of God. And not only this coming week, but then the next week after that, you begin catechism again. And the societies start. So it's not just the little ones, but it's the young people and it's the young adults here, and it is all the old adults like me who can continue also to grow in our knowledge of our God and what He has done and the history of God's wonderful work of salvation of His people. So my theme is instruction for covenant children. Notice the content of that instruction. Second of all, the command then for this instruction. And then thirdly, some concluding thoughts regarding that instruction. What is the content of this instruction that the Israelites were to now pass on to their children and their children's children? And we read here, it is the law of the covenant. It is the covenant of grace. God's gracious relationship that He has established with His people in Christ Jesus. Now in the Old Testament, they're looking forward yet. In the Old Testament, what they saw with their eyes were the lambs and the bulls being sacrificed on altars, the blood running out. They were looking forward to that relationship that they could have with God because of that blood that would flow later on from the Lamb of God, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. The law of the covenant is God's demands of us. Just as we read beautifully in our baptism form. There's two parts to the covenant, aren't there? There is God's saving grace and all that He does in establishing that relationship with us. But what is our part? And it says our part is to love and to serve and to obey God. And so for the Old Testament folks, there was the ceremonial laws, there was the civil law, and there was the moral law. And all of those laws were to help them, shape them as God's people to live for Him. They were to live in the midst of the Canaanites, who they were supposed to drive out, but all the other heathen nations around them, they were supposed to live in their midst as a light in the darkness. That others would look at their lives and say, yes, they believe in Jehovah God, and He sure seems to be favoring them. I am the Lord thy God, a relationship of fellowship and friendship in Christ Jesus. Do we talk too much about obedience? Notice, the obedience here is not in order to earn our salvation, but the obedience is our response to God's deliverance of us. For it says, I am the Lord thy God who has brought thee out of the land of Egypt. It's because the Lord redeemed them, because the Lord was so gracious to them, now they would want to express their gratitude by humbly and willingly serving Him and obeying Him. Who were they? They were God's people, God's special people. And who are you and who am I? And who are our children? They are God's people. Those whom He in His grace has redeemed from their sins by giving His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. We are a redeemed people who are called to live in gratitude. The law of the covenant. Verse 6, we read, "And these words which I command thee this day." Well, chapter 6 follows chapter 5, doesn't it? And it follows the whole book of Leviticus, all those different laws laid out by God for His people, for their good. He says, I'm a God who has brought you in this land to live as my people, and now this is the way you are called to live. This is how you are to order yourself as a nation. That's the civil laws. This is the way that you are to worship me. There's ceremonial laws. And this is the way you are to conduct yourself. The moral law. And yes, today the ceremonial laws have been passed away because Christ Jesus has come. No more sacrifices on altars because Jesus won sacrifice on the cross. The civil laws have passed away. America is not a religious nation. It is not a godly nation. It's a wicked nation like all the other nations around us. It's now the church rather than a nation. But the moral law stands before us every Sunday morning. And that law comes to us to show us our sin so that we are humbled. But that law also is given there, how do you show your gratitude and your love for God? Are you thankful for your salvation in Jesus Christ? You want to live for God, then. You want to live a godly life for Him. And the law of God demands that with all of our being, in every moment of our existence, in every sphere of our life, we love God. We serve God. We obey God. You see, those two words, to love God and to obey God, really are the same word, aren't they? Isn't that what Jesus says in John 14, verse 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience. That is our part in the covenant. Our part in the covenant, of course, with God by His Spirit working in our hearts and guiding us by His Word, but you and I are called to this obedience. Our whole life dedicated or consecrated to God who has redeemed us and delivers us. And now that obedience is not legalism. Legalism is a whole bunch of laws trying to get something for yourself. Legalism is when you're trying to earn your salvation. Or legalism is a bunch of laws that God didn't even make, but other people make for you. Our obedience to God is not legalism. And second of all, our obedience is not make this a conditional covenant. If we do this, then God is going to do that. It is our part. It follows naturally. When God has redeemed us and draws us irresistibly to Himself, and we see Him, we know what He has done, we love Him and we want to obey Him. And that's because God, by His Spirit, has cleansed our hearts and forgiven us, giving us that new love for Him. That's what we heard during the offering, didn't it? We love Jesus because He first loved us. So what does this all mean? This is a generational command. God, who has made this relationship with us in Christ Jesus, demands of you and me and of our children and of our children's children through all generations, love me, serve me, obey me. We have to be taught that continually, don't we? We need to grow in our knowledge. And that's why it's important, not just for our young people or our young adults to have societies, it's important that we as adults, the older folks of us, continue to grow in our knowledge of what God has done and how we must now serve Him. So the content is the law of the covenant, what God has done and what He demands of us. And now, these words which I command thee this day, He says, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. So there is the second point of our outline. We're commanded to teach our children. That word teach there in the Hebrew means to be sharp, to speak in a very pointed speech, to speak definitely and concisely. No beating around the bush, not broad generalities. But parents are to take what God has given, what they have learned, what is in their heart, and are to speak clearly and sharply to their children. Because God works in our generations. Because God gives us these children for a little while in our homes so that we can love and nurture them and teach them the fear of the Lord. Imagine, parents, that God puts that tremendous privilege and obligation upon us, human beings, sinful individuals. Teach your children and their children. Teach them that they are God's children, that they've been separated out of the world, just like Israel was separated out from Egypt and brought into the promised land. We need to teach our children that we have been separated out from the wicked world as God's body, or Christ's body, His church. Teach. Teach the demands of the covenant to our children in regard to every sphere of life. So not just how we have to behave here in church while we're worshiping, or not just how we have to behave in school pretty soon, boys and girls, or not just how you have to behave and do your work in catechism, but also how you are to behave when you're home. How do you treat your brothers and sisters, boys and girls? How do you treat your fellow students in the classroom when the teacher is looking? And how do you treat your classmates when they're on the playground? Are you kind? Caring? Do you listen to authority? Do you listen and honor your parents? Do you listen and honor your teachers that are going to be over you? Are you going to honor your elders who care for you in the church? teach? What kind of things will you do in your playtime? What kind of things are you going to look at when you're doing FaceTime? What kind of things are you going to do? What kind of places are you going to go, young people? How are you going to behave on your dates, young people? Parents, God's law, the law of the covenant, in your heart, now you must explain, you must sharply explain to your children in every sphere of their life. When they're doing good, encouraging them, saying, God loves that obedience, or God loves that good work. When they're being naughty and you're putting the rod over their backside, also speaking God's word, saying God is displeased. That's why you're being punished. But God also forgives us when we repent. Teach. And notice the text says, and thou shalt teach them, what's that next word? Diligently. Diligently. That means to the utmost of your power, as we read in the baptism form, right? You will bring up your children in the aforesaid doctrine to the utmost of your ability. Diligently. How much time does that take? How many hours do we have to spend in that instruction? Is the instruction during the morning worship service and the instruction in the evening worship service enough time? Or is it enough time if the children with us are in church on Sunday for the two worship services and they're in catechism? What about the rest of the days of the week? Is it enough then that they have church and they have catechism and they have a good Christian schools with good Christian teachers? Is that enough? The answer is no. Listen a moment. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them, that is, these demands, that these laws and these statutes of the Lord, you will talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, all the time. Day in and day out. You can't say, I want time out, I just want to rest. Every hour that the Lord gives us, we as parents should be diligently seeking to give this spiritual guidance to these precious children and young people and young adults that God has given to us. 24/7, morning to evening, wherever you're at, all the time, everywhere. And then notice the figurative language. Verse 8 and 9. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets upon thine eyes, between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Those are all figurative language. It's trying to give us a picture. It's true, later on the Jews took that seriously, that is, physically, and so they'd wear this box around their head with a law written in it, and they would have it around their wrist, and yes, they would have it on their doorposts. But it is a figurative language, and it's important language. Think a moment. Maybe some of you, we have several signs on the walls in our house, different Bible texts. One of my favorites is, be still and know that I am God. Now, hopefully, those signs there are more than just decoration. But hopefully, every time we look at it, we think again of that particular passage. And what God is saying is, this parent, going inside the house and when coming outside the house, sees these texts there on the doorpost, and they say, yes, Yes, I have to serve the Lord with heart, soul, mind, and strength. I have to give my all to Him. May that word be as a frontlet between thine eyes. Well, what's here behind my eyes, boys and girls? It's my mind. And it means that our mind has to be thinking of the Word of God's Word. That we know that Word. We dig more and more into that Word. And with that Word there in our minds and in our hearts, then it's also on our hands. That is, it guides what our hands do during the week. And it guides our feet where they're going to walk. Are we going to walk on the narrow way, the difficult way of obedience to God? Or are we going to try to walk in the broad way that the world is living on that leads to destruction? It's a command, beloved, for every area of our life. The purpose of this instruction is that we more and more come to learn what God has done for us in what He requires of us. Its purpose is to show us our sin so that the next time we stop before we do it, we think God's Word is in our mind and we don't do that bad deed. We say no to it. We live antithetically, saying yes to God's will and no to my own sinful wills and desires. To live for God in every area of your life. What is the area of your life, boys and girls, right now, young people? It's to study. It's to get knowledge. Your calling to go to school is the same as your calling of your father that he might have to go to the factory or to the field or to the office. As a call to your mother is to work in the kitchen and provide for the family. It's God's calling for you. Look at it that way. Not, oh, I have to go back to school. I can't wait till I'm done. Maybe you can't wait till you're done. But your calling right now from God, that's the way you're going to serve God, by going to school and studying diligently so that you may know more things about God, but every area of our life. That's why we have good Christian schools, isn't it? History. Are you just going to memorize a bunch of facts? Or do you look at history, the whole world history, and it's really His story? God's story, what God is doing through the history of mankind, bringing His church out of the world and caring for her. Doing math. Where do you see God in math? Well, here. Today, 2 plus 2 equals 4, but 2 plus 2 is also going to equal 4 5, 10, 15, 100 years from now, because God is a God of order. He has made it this way that when you add 2 to 2, you have 4. Or when you study climate, we know that there are these seasons in the year. How come? Because God has created this order that there will be fall time or harvest time that comes after spring and summer. You are being prepared, and we are preparing our children for this light, their life in this world and for the world to come, aren't we? You see, that's what Moses is trying to do here. They are going to go into the land of Canaan to possess it. This is the way you have to conduct yourself, people of Israel, if you're going to experience God's blessing and favor. You see, their fathers, their fathers did not enter into the land of Canaan. That whole generation did not live in faith. God didn't give them faith in their hearts, and they died. They perished in the wilderness. And over against their fathers, may they be warned, as we just sang in that one song, may they be warned, lest they also, when they are in the land, forget God and forget what God did and forget what God demands of them, and they start serving other gods. Prepared for their life in Canaan. And beloved, that is what the instruction in the home, in the church, in the Christian school is also there for, to prepare our children for their life here in this world, how they can be the light in the midst of darkness around, living antithetically, and also preparing us for our life, eternal life, when Jesus comes again. Loving obedience to God. Instruction for those who are friends of God to walk with Him and to talk with Him and to be taught by Him. Taught by Him through your parents and through your pastor, through your elders, through your Christian school teachers. But the Word of God comes here singly. He doesn't say, we shall teach them diligently to our children. He's not speaking now here to the whole congregation, but Moses is speaking to each parent there. You will teach diligently your children. Parents, that Christian instruction, that Reformed instruction, belongs primarily to the parents in the home. And while you're so busy working hard to pay for that Christian education, and it's expensive, perhaps some of you even having to work two different jobs in order to afford it, don't say, well, then the school and the church will do the teaching. I have to work for it. More important than our physical work for things for our family is that instruction by the word of our mouth and by the example of our lives. May our children see God dwelling in us and us fearing the Lord and serving the Lord and obeying the Lord in our lives. So that young and old, we live in this world now already as friends of God who love Him. We've talked about Christian education quite often from the perspective of the covenant. And it is there. It's this passage. I don't know if we've talked enough about Christian education from the aspect of part of God's creation ordinance. You say, what do you mean with that? I mean Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and He put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Why Christian education in the home and in the church and in the Christian school? So our children are prepared to be in this world, in this creation, those who take care of that creation. Those who use this creation, not for themselves, not for in the service of sin, but who use the creation in the service of their God. So let me give some concluding thoughts regarding that instruction. Why? Why, parents, must you care about this? Why must you and I be reminded about this? because of our covenant relationship with God. He has made us His peculiar people, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. We love Him. And now He entrusts these precious boys and girls and young people and young adults to us to lead them in the right direction. Now, of course, as parents, we cannot work in the hearts of our children love for God. You can beat them on their butts because they're disobedient, but you can't pound love in their hearts. God has to do that, but He is pleased. He's pleased to use the instruction of dads and moms who love God and love their children and want them to be nurtured in the fear of the Lord. And how can that take place? I want you to see a moment the connection between verse 6 and 7. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them, etc. It first of all has to be in our own heart in order to be a blessing to our children. If I were going to take a pitcher, an empty pitcher, and I would take an empty glass and I'd try to pour something into the glass, what would happen? Nothing, would it? Nothing. There has to be something in that pitcher. There has to be some soda or there has to be some water in that so that I could pour it into the glass. So also there has to be in your and my hearts as Christian parents this knowledge of God, this knowledge of all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, a knowledge of what He requires of us, a blameless, holy life, in order for us then to pass it on to these little vessels around us, our children, our young people, and our young adults. When this knowledge of God and what He demands is a priority in your and my hearts, then we can pass it on as a priority in the hearts and the lives of our children. It begins with parents. Very personal. You and me, for that short, short while that you have your children in their homes. When I was in my first church, I traveled with some older pastors from Atwood down to Grand Rapids, then from Grand Rapids all the way to Chicago, and then on to Iowa. And this pastor, he said, you know, you have your children only for really about 18 years. And that shocked me because my oldest one was 6 then. I thought, one third of the time is already gone? It goes so fast. Now, sometimes mothers think, oh, I can't wait till they all grow up, but it goes too fast. Grab, seize the opportunity now. Morning and evening, all the time, everywhere. In part, teach diligently your children to know the Lord, know what He has done, and what He demands of you as His children. Don't say you're too busy. Please don't say that. Don't say others will do it for me. Parents, it is your obligation, husbands and wives. Speak of the precepts of the Lord in a healthy way. Not, well, we have to go to church again. The elders are looking at it. We got to be there. But I want to go to church. I want to serve the Lord because of so much that He has done for me. But you might ask, Can I be this diligent instructor of my children? I, with my faults and my sins. And yes, our children see our examples. They know some of our faults, don't they? Can I? And the answer is absolute yes, because the covenant of grace, God works His grace in you. He allows you. He prepares you. He enables you to be this fountain that gives water to your children, those thirsty little plants that are growing up into mature trees in due time, producing fruit. And you know this command of the covenant that comes to us in our pericope is much like the fifth commandment. For you'll remember that the fifth commandment is the only commandment with a promise attached. And what is the promise that is attached to God's promise? Verse 2, your days will be prolonged. Verse 3, that you may increase mightily in the land that flows with milk and honey. Verse 23 and 24, to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers, to do all these things, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive. The earlier generation of Israel, they died in the wilderness because they didn't have faith. They rebelled and murmured. Oh, may that new generation, as they go into the land of Canaan, watch out that they don't forget the Lord or forget His statutes. May you and I, may our children not be those that don't know what the Lord has done for them, but through our instruction, may they know the Lord as their God, their friend, their Redeemer. And through our instruction, may they want to live for Him, obey Him. Amen. O Father in heaven, as our Christian schools open their doors tomorrow, as our societies soon begin to meet, as catechism instruction soon will begin, give us hearts that are desirous to be filled with a knowledge of our God, what He has done and what He demands of us, so that we may, not only on Sunday, but we may every day of our life, bring glory unto Thee by serving Thee and obeying Thee. Amen.